That's a new song for us, but keep it handy because we're going to sing at the very end as well. But I think it goes right along with our message tonight. So I'm going to ask you to turn back with me to Exodus 35. Exodus 35, where we are following the outline given by the Lord to Moses, and then by Moses to the children of Israel about the construction of the tabernacle. And again, this is where we find Christ in many ways. And really, each piece of furniture has given us a glimpse of Christ in some way or another. And so really, starting back there in verse 11, just by way of review, we're actually told about, again, Exodus 35, 11, the tabernacle, his tent, his covering, his tashes, his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets. And so that tabernacle structure itself that we looked at and even tried to measure out based on what we find here at the church, that was built to be sturdy and beautiful. And it points us to the person of Christ with his two natures, both as man and as God. Then in verse 12, we're told about the Ark of the Covenant, and the staves thereof, the poles by which they would carry it, along with a mercy seat made out of gold and the veil of the covering, which separated the holy place and the most holy place. And all of those articles point us to the Lord Jesus as the greatest treasure of all the world, the greatest treasure. In verse 13, we were told about the table of showbread and his staves, his poles for carrying, and all his vessels and the showbread. And that table of showbread was placed on the north side of the holy place, which was the larger room of the tabernacle. And it shows us that Christ is the exclusive connection between heaven and earth. And so even what we do as Christians, we bring to that table, and Christ himself lifts them up in order to be acceptable to heaven and his Father. In verse 14, we are told about the candlestick, also for the light and his furniture and his lamps with the oil for the light. That menorah was actually placed on the south side of the holy place. And of course, it reminds us that Jesus and his people are the light of the world. In verse 15, we have described first the incense altar. This is what we considered last Sunday, and his staves, his poles for carrying, and the anointing oil and the sweet incense, and the hanging of the door at the entering in of the tabernacle. And that incense altar was actually placed in the middle of the holy place, right up against that veil, the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. But the smoke and the scent of that incense that came off the altar every morning and every evening and throughout the day and night actually points to the continual intercession of Christ that goes on right now. The prayer of Christ for his people that goes on in heaven before his Father, even at this very moment. Hebrews 7:12 reminds us that he, the Lord Jesus, ever lives to make intercession for us. What a wonderful truth that is. But then we come to the first part of verse 16. This is where we're going to spend our time here tonight. And that is where we are told about the altar of burnt offering with his brazen grate, his staves, and all his vessels. Now, a lot of studies that go through the tabernacle usually start from the outside of the tabernacle and they work their way in. And so by now they would have already passed this. We're trying to follow this outline that is given to us by the Lord to Moses and to his people. And you're actually working from the inside on out. And of course, this altar of burnt offering in your bulletin, there's just a small artist rendition that you can look at if you're interested. There might be others as well. But this altar was the very first object that you would come to if you were coming to the tabernacle. The tabernacle itself was the tent structure, and so this was placed in the court. And when you entered into the court, this would be the first thing that you would see. And you couldn't miss it because of how large it was. And the details of the construction of this altar, which is also known as the brazen altar, can be found just a few chapters back in chapter 27. So why don't we turn there now in Exodus 27 and read the instructions that the Lord gave to Moses about this brazen altar. Exodus 27 verses 1 through 8. The Lord says, "And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood." So the similar wood used for other articles there in the tabernacle, acacia wood. And here's the dimensions, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad, and the altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits, and thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horns shall be of the same, acacia wood, and thou shalt overlay it, the entire thing, with brass or bronze. And thou shalt make his pans to receive his ashes, and his shovels, and his basins, and his flesh hooks, and his fire pans. all the vessels thereof thou shalt make of brass or bronze. And thou shalt make for it a grate of network of brass, and upon the net shalt thou make four brazen rings in the four corners thereof. And thou shalt put it under the compass, the edge of the altar beneath, that the net may be even to the midst of the altar. And thou shalt make staves, poles for the altar, staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with brass. And the staves shall be put into the rings, and the staves shall be upon the two sides of the altar, to bear it, to carry it. Hollow with boards shalt thou make it. As it was showed thee in the mount, so shall they make it. Now, of course, this brazen altar is mostly known for what was done on it, which was sacrifices. Of course, there were burnt offerings, and that's why this particular one is known as the altar of burnt sacrifice. That was one of the primary sacrifices that were to be made on it, but there are also sin offerings and guilt offerings and peace offerings that were to be made there. And each kind of sacrifice does teach us something about the sacrifice of Christ. Of course, remember Peter says in 1 Peter 1:19 that we are redeemed with his precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so obviously when they brought these sacrifices to be made on that brazen altar, they were to bring of their very best. And of course you had lambs and goats and even some birds that were able to be sacrificed there. And certainly those sacrifices are another way for us to find Christ in the Old Testament. We may look at some of those in the future. But I believe, as we will see tonight, that the brazen altar itself, not just what is done on the altar, but the altar itself is a picture of Christ himself. In Hebrews 13:10, we're actually told that we have an altar. We have an altar whereof they, referring even to the Jews, have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. And so this particular brazen altar that was there in the court of the tabernacle is an altar that points to and pictures for us our Lord Jesus Christ in a unique and special way. The altar pictures Christ. And the first thing that we can learn from this altar about Christ is, I believe, the sufficiency of Christ. The sufficiency of Christ. There in verse 1, we're actually given the dimensions of the altar. And though we were also given the dimensions of most of the other objects of the tabernacle, the size of this altar was significant. It was, according to verse 1, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad, 3 cubits high. Remember, the cubit is about 18 inches. It'd be from the span of your elbow to the tip of a man's highest finger. And so that would translate to about 7 feet or 7.5 feet square. So taller than me for sure. 7.5 feet square, 4.5 feet high. And it was the largest object besides the tabernacle tent itself. It was a big, big box. In fact, in verse 8, we're told expressly that this altar was to be made hollow. It has actually been said that all of the other objects of the tabernacle could have fit inside the brazen altar with even some room to spare. And it was made hollow so that it could actually hold up to 253 cubit feet of sacrificial material. Now, of course, they wouldn't let it get that bad. It's not like a room that you have to clean. They would be cleaning the ashes out every single day. But it was that large, that massive, that big. But how much is 253 cubic feet of sacrificial material? Well, I was curious, and so I wondered, based on some of the things that we are familiar with, and I brought with us this morning a 5-gallon pail. Now, I looked up to see how much you can actually fit in a 5-gallon pail. And I think this particular one is 0.98 cubic feet. So it's about a cubic foot, is what I was told from Google. Not sure exactly if that's accurate, but if that's the case, you would actually be fitting, again, 253 of these things into that particular box. That's a lot of stuff. I mean, I wouldn't want to be carrying that much stuff. And I think that's probably why they had to clean it up every single day. But that's a lot of stuff. And I believe that this size of the brazen altar, and really the later the size of the altar of the temple, which would have been bigger and even more massive, it expresses the sufficiency of Christ to handle all the necessary sacrifice for sins of those who come and believe in Him. The fact is, when we think about our sins and how massive our sins are against the Lord, here's a picture of a great big box that can fit all of it and room to spare. You see, Christ Himself is the altar of sacrifice for us. He is able to cleanse all of us from all unrighteousness. And obviously, that was still limited. I mean, there would still come a point where it would overflow, but Christ and His mercy can never be overflowed. And that is one reason why we can run to Christ, as we sang earlier. We can run to Christ because of the sufficiency of Christ. Another reason that we find here is the strength of Christ. The sufficiency of Christ and then the strength of Christ. In verse 2, God tells Moses, "And thou shalt make the horns of it," the horns of this altar, "upon the four corners thereof, his horns shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass." Now there are actually two symbols of strength in this verse. And I want to look at the last one first. And that is the strength of its metal. The strength of its metal. Here in the King James, the metal used to overlay the acacia wood for this altar is called brass. It's probably better translated bronze, because brass as we know it wasn't developed until around 500 BC. It is an alloy of copper, but there's another element besides tin in brass. But bronze, which is an alloy of copper and tin, was developed as early as 3500 BC, which actually started the Bronze Age. And that is a time of period a little bit earlier than what we're reading about here. But this altar was overlaid with bronze. And that bronze would have been, again, about 90% copper, 10% tin. But it was just the right material that God wanted for them to use for this altar to be able to withstand not only the heat of the fire, because it would dissipate that heat so it wouldn't melt at a very high melting temperature, but it was also designed to withstand the weather and the elements of both the desert, because that's where they built this, and they would spend 40 years, but it was also built to withstand the more wet atmosphere along the Jordan River in Shiloh, where this would sit for some 300 years after they got into the Promised Land. So the strength of the altar's metal actually points to the strength and the inner strength of Christ Himself. You see, Jesus was the only person who was ever able to withstand the holy fire of God's wrath for our sin and not be consumed. You see, every one of us will have to have somebody pay for our sin. And if we do not have someone else pay for our sin, we're going to have to pay for that sin. But the fact is, that payment for our sin by ourselves will be a consumption. We will consume God's wrath for eternity. Yet Jesus, when He was sacrificed on that altar, was able to withstand the fire of God's wrath for us all. And that's why when you believe in Christ, His inner strength is actually made accessible and available to you, which is then seen in the second symbol of strength in this altar, and that is the strength of its horns. The strength of its horns. Now, we learned last week about the incense altar and how the horns on that altar actually connected the interior of the tabernacle to the exterior and the altar. That was one of the connections between the court and the interior of the tabernacle, are those horns of strength. And that means that this brazen altar and what was done on it outside the tabernacle actually prepared the way for the incense altar and what was burnt on that. The horns on both altars were symbols of strength, the mighty strength of Christ on behalf of His people. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Jesus Himself told Paul, who was dealing with his own weaknesses, Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness." And that is so true for us. When we face the weakness every single day in our lives, who do we go to? Who do we run to for strength in those times of weakness? We can do so physically, mentally, spiritually, to the horn of Christ at this tabernacle and at this altar. There was another interesting use of the horns of the brazen altar. It was used also to tie up animals while they were still alive, getting ready probably for sacrifice. Maybe this is also where another animal would have been given while they were doing one animal for sacrifice. They're awaiting the other. But in Psalm 118:27, we read these words, "God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. So the horns of the altar, a symbol of strength, was also a place where they would tie up animals that were still living. And some believe that that might have been what Paul had in mind when he wrote Romans 12:1. A familiar verse to us when it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And truly, if we have Christ as our strength, we can hold on to the strength of his horn, the horn of that altar, and be a living sacrifice with our lives for him. Christ himself, because he is the altar of sacrifice for his people, makes all this possible through his strength. And that is why we now can run to Christ in his strength at any time to serve and to be the living sacrifice that he's called us to be. But those same horns of the altar also reveal to us not just the strength of Christ, but something else. And that is, number three, the sanctuary of Christ. The sanctuary of Christ. There are actually a couple of times in the Old Testament when men whose lives were at stake actually ran to the altar to take hold of one of the horns of that altar. In 1 Kings 1:50, Adonijah did this. This was one of King David's sons because he feared for his life when Solomon, his brother, was coronated king. And of course, he wanted to be king and he had his own little coronation. But then, of course, David said, no, Solomon's going to be king. And he was afraid for his life. He ran into the temple and grabbed hold of that horn of that altar in order for his life to be spared. A little bit later in 1 Kings 2:28, Joab also, which was, of course, the great general under David, Joab also, when he feared for his life because of Solomon, he ran over and grabbed the horn of the altar for sanctuary. Now, even though for both men the altar was a place of sanctuary, holding on to the horn of strength, only one of those men was actually spared his life. Joab was actually killed at the altar. But that is not the case with Christ. See, Jesus himself is the altar of sacrifice, and he is a sanctuary to everyone who lays hold on him by faith for a refuge from their sin and a refuge from God's wrath. This is one of the reasons why we sang some of the songs we did earlier, because Jesus is that refuge for us. He is that sanctuary. And there is no one who can take us away from that. Once you lay hold on that altar, once you lay hold on that horn, once you lay hold on Christ, guess what? No one can take you away. No one can kill you. No one can slay you, take you away from the Lord. He is your sanctuary. In Hebrews 6:18, we're even told that we have a strong consolation, a strong comfort, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. You see, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was able to put away sin because he himself is the altar of sacrifice. So what do? Well, when you face those trials, when you face the things that we just sang here about running to Christ, you run to Christ as your sanctuary because once you take hold of Christ by faith, he then provides opportunity to grow because of, number four, the service of Christ. The service of Christ. And that's what we see next here in Exodus 27, verse 3. When we see that these instruments were made also of bronze to attend to the altar. Look at verse 3 again. The Lord says to Moses, and thou shalt make the altar's pans or pots to receive his ashes, and his shovels, and his basins, and his flesh hooks, and his fire pans. All the vessels thereof thou shalt make of bronze. These instruments were actually the priest's connection to the brazen altar. This is how they would tend to that brazen altar. They would use the pans or the pots and even the shovels to clean out all the ashes that were made from the sacrifices made every single day, every single hour. They would use the basins to hold the liquids necessary to tend to the altar. Some of those basins would be used for wine libations and wine offerings. Some of them would be used to carry the blood that they would use to sprinkle on other artifacts and other objects. They would use these flesh hooks to move the offerings around on this grill, as well as the coals underneath, to ensure that the sacrifice was burned up entirely. It's kind of like what you would do when you're tending a campfire, poking and prodding to make sure it all burns up. They would use these fire pans or censers, it could also be translated, and they would actually carry the coals from the brazen altar, some of the live coals, and carry it into the tabernacle in order to offer incense on the incense altar. So another connection between those two altars, right? Not only the horns of strength, but also the coals and the fire by which to use to burn that incense. All of these instruments were used by the priest to tend to the altar in an ongoing way. And so it is with the altar of Christ. When you find the strength of Christ to be your sanctuary, in other words, if you have believed on Christ and are now safe in Christ, then you have continual access to Him as your altar. And this is a comfort to believers. You can now go to Christ anytime you need Him, and really all the time you should. You can go to Him when you need cleansing, even from the ashes of your indwelling sin. You know, we pick up a lot of soot and grime walking in this world, don't we? A lot of sin, sins of others, sins of ourselves cling to us. But the fact is, we can daily go to Him to get cleaned up. 1 John 1:9, John says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He can do that because He is our altar. Also, you can go to Jesus when you need to be revived in your own heart. You can stay connected to the altar of Christ and His sacrifice. You know, just like you're trying to poke and prod to make sure that altar or the sacrifice in the altar is burned up completely. Sometimes we need to be stirred up in our lives, don't we? Where do we go to be stirred up? Maybe there's something in your life that has died or is dying. Maybe the embers are very, very low. It's kind of like this morning when we talked about our love for Christ and our following after Christ and so many things about our relationship with Christ. How do we get revival? We go back to Christ, don't we? We go back to this brazen altar. We go back to see what He is and why He did what He did for us. 1 Corinthians 5:14 says that the love of Christ constraineth us. It impresses us so that those who live should not henceforth live to themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. You can go to Jesus when you need cleansing. You can go to Jesus when you need to be revived. You can also go through Christ with the coals from His altar in prayer. This is perhaps probably the hardest thing for us to do as Christians, and that is pray, though it is probably one of the easiest ministries that we can do, pray. But sometimes prayer is one of those things that need to be strengthened. You know, in Revelation, the Lord says to one of the churches there, strengthen those things that remain. Some things are starting to dwindle. Some things are starting to lessen. He says, strengthen those things that remain. And one of those things is prayer. And we can take the coals from off the altar of Christ and come boldly into the throne of grace and offer it on the incense of altar of Christ. You see, because Christ Himself is the altar of sacrifice, His sacrifice has enduring significance and service for you, especially when you need it most. But then we can also see, number five, the sanctification of Christ in the brazen altar. The sanctification of Christ as well. If you turn over probably a page or so in Exodus 29:36-42, we're actually told about the consecration of the altar. So the altar was already built. You know, God gave him all the instructions. It was built. And He said, this is what you're going to do to consecrate this altar. And picking up there in verse 36 and go through verse 42, says, thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement, and thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it, and thou shalt anoint it with this anointing oil that was made as well to sanctify it. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. And this was the daily service. 2 lambs of the first year, day by day continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening. And with the one lamb a 10th deal of flour mingled with a 4th part of an hin of beaten oil, and the 4th part of an hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening, and shall do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak there unto thee. So again, we're told about the consecration of that altar, that brazen altar. For 7 days, a single bullock was offered for a sin offering. And those offerings were made to cleanse the altar. And then after being anointed with that holy anointing oil, the altar was actually made fit and ready for all of the sacrifices that were to be made there. But then, did you notice there at the end of verse 37, we're told this about the altar. It shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. That can also be translated, and I like how the ESV puts it as well. Whatsoever touches the altar shall become holy. It wasn't so much that everything that comes to the altar has to be 100% holy, but rather, once it is, it becomes holy. What that means is it's consecrated to the Lord. It's consecrated to His use. And really, even those two men, Adonijah and Joab, when they went and grabbed a hold of the altar by the horns, they actually became consecrated to the Lord. In other words, it was up to God to decide what to do with them. You see, Jesus also referred to this principle in Matthew 23:19 when He says to the scribes and Pharisees, "Oh, you fools and blind, for what is greater, the gift that you bring to the altar or the altar that sanctifies the gift?" And obviously the implication is the altar. The altar is what makes the gift and the sacrifice holy and acceptable to the Lord. It was the altar that sanctified and set apart the gift or sacrifice. It was the altar that made whatever touched it holy and consecrated unto God. And that is true of Christ as well. You see, that is true of Christ because it was the divine and holy nature of Jesus Christ that made His sacrifice holy and acceptable to God the Father. You see, that brazen altar has a connection with the stuff that's going on inside the tabernacle. And the stuff inside the tabernacle really reflects the holy nature and the heavenly nature of God in Christ. But Christ came from heaven, that holy place, that holy home, into this world and was the altar upon which He Himself would become the sacrifice. But His holy nature is what sanctified even His sacrifice to be acceptable to His Father. You see, it was His infinite sufficiency, His infinite strength, His infinite sanctuary, His infinite service that gave His sacrifice infinite and eternal significance and value, more than any other offering could ever make. But since that was true of Christ, now it is also true of Christians. You see, when you and I lay hold on Christ by faith, the true altar of sacrifice. Now remember when the Lord said to Moses, "You're going to make this altar according to the pattern that you were shown in the mount." Not exactly sure what Moses saw, but whatever he saw pointed to Christ in a more particular and perfect way than even this brazen altar did. But this true altar of sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, when you lay hold on Him by faith, you become, according to Paul, washed and sanctified and justified, all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So think back through this list of what we find in Christ, in this altar. When you need any of these things, maybe you recognize just how insufficient you are. Maybe you need strength for your day-to-day walk with Christ. Maybe you need God's service. Maybe you need Christ's ongoing service because you're failing to walk with Him. You're failing in your prayer life. You're failing to walk a holy life. When you lack any of these things, run and take hold of Christ afresh. Run and grab onto His onto that altar, onto that horn of strength, so then you can experience the fullness of Christ as the altar of God. Now, obviously, later on, these sacrifices point us to Christ. But think about grabbing on by faith Christ today. You did it once before when you came to Him for salvation. Now you can do it for consecration and sanctification every day of your life. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You again that the Lord Jesus is pictured for us in so many places, in so many ways in this tabernacle. And Lord, we recognize that even in this altar, this brazen altar upon which the priests would offer sacrifices over and over and over again, The Lord Jesus is that altar. And we have an altar in Christ. And Father, I know that there are times where we do struggle with the sufficiency of Christ and with the strength that we need for day-to-day living, with our own sanctification in our walk with you. And all of these things, Lord, we struggle with, we lack. And perhaps, Lord, it's because we've lessened our grip on the horn that Christ is to us. We know that you have not let go your grip of us in any way, shape, or form. We're thankful for that, Lord, but sometimes we loosen our grip. And so, Father, I pray that you will renew our grip upon you, upon our Savior, and that we will recognize that because he is the altar, Lord, we, when we touch him, are sanctified. Because in him we find our sanctuary. And Father, when anybody accuses us of anything, when the devil himself accuses us of anything, we realize that because we're hanging on to Christ and Christ is hanging on to us, that we are safe. We are safe at the altar. No man can take us from the altar. The altar back in the day of the tabernacle didn't have that kind of strength. Joab himself was killed there. But we're thankful, Lord, that once we claim and hold on to Christ, Lord, he will never let us go as well. So, Father, I pray that as we sing this hymn again, that we will run to Christ. Run to Christ as our brazen altar. Run to him and hold on to, cling to the horn of his strength and salvation. Because, Lord, we know that he continues to be that altar for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.